Shanti Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya
Reading this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 1, and we'll cover texts 22 and 23. 22 has no purport, and 23 does, so I'll read the translation starting with 22. On the bank of the river Saraswati, there were 11 places of pilgrimage, namely Tritha, Ushana, Manu, Prithu, Agni, Asita, Vayu, Sudasa, Go. You ever hear of that place? Go. Go means cow. So in the Gavam is the Sanskrit word, that of Go, capital G-O, that of Go. You got a clue what that's all about? Go. In the way the Prabhupada has translated it is the pilgrimage site named Manu, then that of Prithu, that of Agni, that of Asita, that of Vayu, which it connects into the next verse, the one that's on the board here. Some of the places were named after the person who established the place of pilgrimage or established a temple there, that of Vayu. And then there's others that are names of the name Sudasa, then that of Go is Gavam, that of Guha, and of the name Shraddhadev, and so on. So you'll see how this connects to the next verse. So the previous verse is after visiting Prabhasa, where he received the news that the entire Yadu dynasty has departed the world at Prabhasa. Then he proceeded west, where the river Saraswati flows. That's where yesterday's verse ended. Saraswatim pratyag iyaya tushnim. He went silently to the river Saraswati, and then along the river Saraswati he visited these 11 places of pilgrimage, named one by one in the verse. Tritha, Ushana, Manu, Prithu, etc. Vidur visited all of them and duly performed rituals. No purport, and then this verse, and the purport connects the two verses. Anyani cheha dvija deva devai
Anyani cheha dvija deva devai
Kritani nana yatanani vishno
Kritani nana yatanani vishno
Pratyanga mukyan kita mandirani
Pratyanga mukyan kita mandirani
Yadarshanat krishnam anusmaranti
Yadarshanat krishnam anusmaranti
Anyani Cheha Dvija Deva Devai
Anyani Cheha Dvija Deva Devai
Kritani Nananyatanani Vishno
Kritani Nananyatanani Vishno
Pratyanga Mukhyan Kita Mandirani
Pratyanga Mukhyan Kita Mandirani
Yadarshanat Krishnam Anusmaranti
Yadarshanat Krishnam
Anyani,
Anyani,
others,
others,
cha,
cha,
also,
also,
iha,
iha,
here,
here,
dvija deva,
deva,
by the great sages,
by the great sages,
devai,
devai,
and the demigods,
demigods.
Kritani,
kritani,
established by.
Nana,
na,
na,
various,
various,
anyatanani,
anyatanani,
various forms,
various
forms, Vishnoho,
Vishnoho,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
prati,
prati,
each and every,
each and every,
anga,
anga,
part,
part,
mukhya,
mukhya,
the chief. Ankita,
Ankita,
marked.
Mandirani,
temples,
temples.
Yat,
which.
Darshanat,
by seeing from a distance.
Krishnam, the original personality of Godhead.
Anusmaranti,
constantly remembers. Translation. There were many other temples of various forms of the personality of Godhead Vishnu established by great sages and demigods. These temples were marked with the chief emblems of the Lord, and they reminded one always of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Human society is divided into four social orders of life and four spiritual divisions applying to each and every individual person. This system is called Varnashram Dharma and has already been discussed in many places in this great literature. Now he's going to define this Dviji Deva and Deva. The sages, or persons who completely devoted themselves to the spiritual fulfillment of the entire human society, were known as Dviji Deva, the best amongst the twice-born. The denizens of the superior planets, from the moon planet and upwards, were known as Devas. So he's just covering this Dvija Deva Devai. Both the Dvija Devas and the Devas always establish temples of Lord Vishnu in his various forms, such as Govinda Madhusudana Nrsingha Madhava Keshava Narayan Padmanabha Parthasarathi and many others. The Lord expands himself in innumerable forms, but all of them are not different from one another. Lord Vishnu has four hands, and each hand holds a particular item, either a conch, wheel, club, or lotus flower. Of these four emblems, the chakra, or the wheel, is chief. You ready for this sentence, Chakri? The next sentence. The next sentence is got your name in it. Okay. Lord Krishna, being the original Vishnu form, has only one emblem, namely the wheel, and therefore he is sometimes called the Chakri. Chakri ki. You're Chakri Das, don't worry. Chakri ki jai. The Lord's chakra is the symbol of power by which the Lord controls the whole manifestation. The tops of Vishnu temples are marked with the symbol of the wheel so that people may have the chance to see the symbol from a very long distance and at once remember Lord Krishna. That's Yadarshanat Krishnam Anusmaranti. The purpose of building very high temples is to give people the chance to see them from a distant place. This system is carried on in India whenever a new temple is constructed and it appears that it is coming down from a time before recorded history. What Prabhupada means by before recorded history, he's already explained. This is recorded history, but before recorded history by modern historians' perspective, he's already said they only go back a few, maybe 3,000 years. And before that, it was like, you know, not, there's no civilization. In fact, it was only monkeys and primordial soups and things like that. But it wasn't people that were civilized. That's why there wasn't recorded history. And when people got civilized, then they started recording history. So this is before recorded history that was recorded. The foolish propaganda by atheists that temples were constructed only in the later days when people got civilized and recorded history and built temples and did civilized things is refuted here because Vidura visited these temples at least 5,000 years ago. That's 5,040 years ago. And the temples of Vishnu were in existence long before Vidura visited them. The great sages and demigods never established statues of men or demigods, but they established temples of Vishnu for the benefit of common men to raise them to the platform of God consciousness. Although there are certainly ancient temples of Lord Shiva and so many other personalities. But when, well, particularly when we make our visit to South India, we'll be hearing the histories of these places, and many great personalities visited these places, and when they visited the places, they established deities. Do that in due course of time. So, Pratyanga Mukhyankita Mandirani Yadarshanat Krishnam Anusmaranti. The temples were marked with the chief emblems of the Lord, but of the chief emblems of the Lord, primarily one is the chief amongst them. So, even so, temples of Lord Vishnu, this little cultural point. In Guyana, it's not, there's no consistency. It's common that temples of Lord Shiva will have a chakra and temples of Lord Vishnu will have a trident. A little confused there. And what to speak of what the the pundits, or that's their term for the persons in charge of the temple, their understanding is... Anyway. But common is a chakra atop a temple. And Prabhupada would speak like that, that on top of a church is a cross, or on top of a mosque is the mark of Islam, and on top of a temple of Vishnu is a chakra. Out of the four symbols, the chakra is, in Prabhupada's language here, the chief, most important. Why? Out of them, the chakra establishes the principle of the Lord's power. Of course, his club is powerful also. But Sudarshan is the power of the Supreme Lord. So let's spend a little bit of time thinking of examples where Krishna, or Chakri, exhibited his Sudarshan Chakra. We don't hear of, except for fighting with Jambavan, he used a club. But even, he put away the club, and then it was with sticks and or tree trunks and boulders, and then their fists. Where did Krishna deploy his Sudarshan Chakra? You remember one? Okay.
And he ran, so he did the chakra to see.
Yeah. Right. But that was Lord Vishnu, wasn't it? Lord Vishnu has four symbols: club, conch, disc, and lotus. Lord Vishnu expanded his Sudarshan Chakra to stand by the side of Maharaj Ambarish, as described. He was so dear to Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu said, "Sudarshan, expand yourself and stand right there by Maharaj Ambarish's side. So if any problem comes, you're ready." So he didn't even have to call Sudarshan. Sudarshan just like was activated. Took care of that fiery demon of Durvasamuni. So Krishna, in Vrindavan, or in Mathura, or in Dwarka. Yes. Say more than one word.
When Shishupal came to the assembly and...
Which assembly?
To Dwarka. Sorry,
okay.
Mathura.
Just we'll see if we can get one of each and... At least. Go ahead.
And he started blaspheming Krishna for...
He blasphemed Krishna. And then what happened?
Krishna has given the promise to Shishupala's mother that he will not do anything up to 100 times.
Yeah.
So once he went past it,
Krishna released his Sudarshan Chakra. Remember that one? And... off with the head. Okay, what about in Dwarka? An example of Krishna deploying Sudarshan when he was a resident of Dwarka.
When Pandra challenged him for... means he was claiming himself to be Krishna, and he was accusing Krishna that he is falsely imitating him. So they had a battle, and Krishna cut off his arms.
And then what happened? It wasn't over then. What happened after that?
The citizens of Kashi then tried in front of the son of Pandaka, I think, tried to attack Krishna, and then his head went flying back.
Who knows the story? Who are Krishna book buffs? Anybody? Pondraka was a friend of the king of Kashi. So when Pondraka was killed, the son of the king of Kashi took a vow that he underwent sudakshina, underwent great austerities in order to defeat Krishna. And he was also killed by the Sudarshan Chakra. What about Krishna in Vrindavan? Did Krishna ever use Sudarshan in Vrindavan?
Govardhan pastime.
Govardhan pastime. Could you tell us a little about the Govardhan pastime and Sudarshan?
In Vrindavan, he explained that we wonder how if Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill like a mushroom, why the water didn't come and flood underneath and the residents and the cows get wet. That's because Krishna called the Sudarshan Chakra to go zoom around the Govardhan hill and dry off all the water. And then Sudarshan was tired, so he took shelter at the Chaturthirtha.
By the side of Manasi Ganga. He needed some rest. He was tired. So Chakratirtha is right by the side of Govardhan, and he rested there. And in that place, Chakratirtha, the grandson of Krishna, Vajranabhi, established a temple of Lord Shiva called Chakaleshwara Mahadev. And it's by the side of Chakaleshwara Mahadev that Sanatana Goswami made one of his bhajan kutirs and would chant every day his japa and perform his bhajan. So another name of Krishna is Chakri, indicating that he's so a common name for one of the names of Lord Vishnu is Chakradhari, or Chakrapani. But this name particularly is a name for Krishna, by which he controls the whole manifestation. The prayers of Maharaj Ambarish, let's go back to your example. The example of Sudarshan was pursuing Durvasa Muni. So when Durvasa Muni came back and paid his obeisances before Maharaj Ambarish, what happened? Yeah, why not?
Because Vishnu told him to ask a sari to Maharaj.
Yeah. And then what did Maharaj Ambarish do? Durvasa Muni came and paid his obeisances and begged for forgiveness. What did Ambarish Maharaj do?
He said
that
he said
jai
and everything to
Siddhartha. What did he do?
He said jai and everything to Siddhartha Chakra and he forgave.
Yeah. He forgave, but he offered prayers. They're very beautiful prayers that describe the quality and the characteristics of Sudarshan. And there's some amazing things that are said about what Sudarshan is and does, and his activities and his qualities. Very beautifully recited by Ambarish Maharaj. And then Ambarish Maharaj made a request. His request of Sudarshan was, besides, please excuse, I have excused, you please excuse my this dear Brahman. But he also said that if there's any pious activities that I've engaged in my entire existence, and if there are some benefits to be derived from those pious activities, I hereby transfer all of them right now to Durvasa Muni, so he will be protected by those pious activities. That's the magnanimity of Ambarish Maharaj. So now back to Vidura. His objective, like ours, is to qualify ourselves to come before Krishna, to be in Krishna's presence. And so he's following the rules and regulations, the vidhis of purification. And one of those policies of purification or vidhis of purification is visiting holy places. So he visited many, many. And while visiting them, he saw the deity forms of the Lord. And by seeing the deity forms of the Lord and even the chakra on top of the temple of the Lord, even from a distance, one can think of the Lord. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is also described that when Lord Chaitanya was traveling to Puri the first time, a leela was enacted by the Lord so that he could go alone. And there was a transcendental reason for it. So the leela was Lord Nityananda's breaking of Lord Chaitanya's danda. And after breaking Lord Chaitanya's danda, Lord Chaitanya asked him, I handed my danda to you, where have you put it? I'd like to carry my danda now, I'm going into Puri. Oh, my Lord, I'm very sorry, but you fainted in a swoon of ecstasy and you fell on your danda and it broke in three places. So I threw it in the river. And you have every right to punish me. Whatever punishment you wish to give, I'll accept. Lord Chaitanya feigned anger at Lord Nityananda. He said, I'm a sannyasi. What are my possessions? My danda and my kamandalu, and I've given that to you and you've lost it. It's become destroyed. So I don't want to travel with you anymore. You can go ahead of me. You and all the others can go ahead of me. Or I'll go ahead and you stay behind. Tell me which one you'd like. Oh no, you go. And we'll stay behind. So he went. And at a distance he saw the chakra of the Jagannath temple. So he was drawn very swiftly. Even though every moment seemed like 12 years or more, because he was in such a mood of separation in anticipation of meeting the Lord. So much so that when he entered the temple, he fainted in a swoon of ecstasy, became fixed in trance. And a similar explanation is given when Haridas Thakur came 1 year later, or a few years later, along with the other devotees. He wouldn't come into the assembly of the devotees, and he wouldn't enter the Jagannath temple. So Lord Chaitanya arranged a place for him. I'm sure it was before there were so many buildings, because now when you're at the place where Haridas Thakur performed his chanting, you can't see the spire of the temple, but at that time he could. So from where he was sitting chanting, he could see the chakra on top of the temple, the Siddha Bakul and the top of the temple. So by seeing the chakra on top of the temple, it was spiritually as beneficial as seeing the deity. It's described there. So Prabhupada's point is this system was prevalent before recorded time. And this is our evidence that Vidura saw these temples. And Pratyanga Mukankita Mandirani Yadarshanat Krishnam Anusmaranti, the purpose of which is Krishna anusmara, to follow the path of always remembering Krishna, even from a distance. And that inviting one or encouraging one to go visit the temple and see the forms of the Lord. So we've been, two other things, we've been hearing that seeing the form of the Lord is seeing the Lord. It's not a representation of, it's a mercy form of the Lord in a manner that we can see, because we don't have the qualification to see, but we wish to see. So the Lord makes that arrangement so we can see His form. And there are certain more famous deities than others, but it's not that the more famous deities, that's more Krishna, and the less famous deities, they're less Krishna. Their deity forms of the Lord are Krishna. And the other point is this Dvijadeva and Devai, or Deva. Dvijadeva and Deva. Dvijadeva are the best of the twice born, the Brahmanas, who would visit these places and establish temples there, temples of Vishnu. And the Devas themselves would establish temples of Vishnu. And thus the list of the 11 includes some of the demigods' names, some of the sages' names, and the personalities who establish them. The same places can be known also by the name of deity. Like the previous verse that we read yesterday, where Bindu Madhava is a name of a form of the Lord. And so on. Here's the Lord is present in Mathura as Adi Keshava. The Lord is present in Puri as Lord Jagannath or Purushottama. In Allahabad or Prayag as Bindu Madhava. At the Mandara Hill, he is present as Madhusudana. In the Anandaranya, he is known as Vasudev, Padmanabha, and Janardana. At Vishnu Kanchi, he is known as Vishnu. And at Mayapur, he is known as Hari. So the places are also known by the names of the deities or the persons, the Deva or Dvijadeva, who established them. So there's rich history behind each of these deities, but the purpose is the same: purification, Krishna smarana, to always remember Krishna, or to assist the pilgrims in following the path, anusmaranti, following the path of always remembering Krishna. Particularly beneficial in sacred places. And so Vishnu temples are found in these sacred places. Any comments or questions? Yes.
I want to ask a couple of things. If nobody has a question from this section, I want to do.
Okay.
No question from yesterday. Actually, a question, comment, and on this topic of cutting the knot of material attachment. It seems that in the path of devotion service, when we, through the process of hearing and chanting, we've been given further realizations of our ineligibility to perform devotional service awakens. And because of material tendency or independent mindedness, the attention goes to, let me try to fix this problem.
The attention goes to what?
To, let me try to fix this problem. or somehow I can make it happen. But then really the process of purification, the way that that'll go is through the Vajana Kriya process of chanting, chanting, hearing and chanting. So that was your message. It seemed like that was part of your message yesterday. How do we avoid falling into the trap of?
You know where the trap is and you don't go there. Although, you know, the inattentiveness is where prior tendencies kick in. So one has to maintain attentiveness. Prabhupada's example, one of the examples is a razor. Razor is a very sharp instrument, so when you're using a razor, don't be inattentive, because very easily you can cut yourself and draw blood. You don't want to cut yourself and draw blood, so don't be inattentive. Be attentive. And then, you know, yeah, but, you know, be attentive. It's hard to be attentive. Okay. It's harder. It's more painful to be inattentive. Because you be inattentive and the material tendencies again resume. And now you have this powerful thing that can even water weeds if you're not attentive. Be attentive. Practice being attentive. We have, you know, very nice means of being attentive, like deity worship that's mentioned here, and chanting and association and so many nice things. We continue to be attentive, strive to be attentive while performing these things. Yes?
Can I ask a follow-up question? There's, when during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's disappearance day, there's this wonderful essay that I read in The Way of Vishnu that he wrote. It's in Appendix 2. There's a very nice statement he says, is that it's necessary for the best to scrutinize their ineligibility, something like that. And then next sentence was, why look at the faults of others? So it seems like when we do that, we have to also be careful. The question is, we have to be careful of, you know, dwelling too much and then falling into moral ignorance.
Yeah. We spent. I'm restraining from jumping on the topic because we talked about this for like 4 hours in Chicago. So, yes, agreed.
We might have one more doubt in this, or one more clarification. The Anarthanivritti process is that where practice is steady and the Nishtha is where consciousness is steady?
I don't follow your question. Preceding Anarthanivritti, let's just say it the other way. That the locomotive, the car that has the engine in it, pulls the other cars. Or the horse pulls the cart. So, similarly, a byproduct of nicely performed devotional practices is Anarthanivritti. The cart is pulled by the horse. So the attention should go to Bhajana Kriya, not to the anartas that arise or that become disclosed and are gradually cleansed by the Bhajana Kriya process. When you're cleaning a place that's been neglected, your attention goes to the act of cleaning. And because your attention is going to the act of cleaning, that's the locomotive pulling the other cars of the train, or the horse that's pulling the cart, you'll see going to this reference of Bhaktisiddhanta, you'll see there's impurities. And so that's something that needs to be cleaned by the cleansing process. So what's in the forefront is the cleansing process. Keep it there. That'll pull the train. The horse will pull the cart. But you put the cart before the horse, and, you know, everything is lost. The whole forward motion is lost. So stay focused on nicely performing your devotional practices. While so doing, then another faculty needs to be developed. That is, observe and through the cleansing process remove the anartas. But it's not, our attention is to the cleansing agent is Krishna. And the means is devotional service or our process of purification. Consequently, anarta nirvritti takes place up to the stage of where anartas are nearly gone, which is then given another name of the stage called nishtha. Nishtha is a mature presentation or development of bhajana kriya. You go way back, and bhajana kriya is but a more matured stage of faith. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says all the way up to prema, it's just stages of faith, unfolding and development of faith. But it's an active process, not just, you know, feeling. It's practical activity in devotional service. Up then nishtha, and then further. Something else? Yeah.
How do we cultivate a simple heart?
How do we cultivate? By cultivating.
Especially in this age, there is almost.
So you know what something is, and you know what something isn't, and you dismiss the something that isn't. You give attention to the something that is. That's how you cultivate. The nature of the question is confusing me. How do you cultivate? You do this and you don't do that. You give attention to what is to, you know. And you withdraw attention from the other. Na sate vidite bhavo, na bhavo vidite sataha. That's how you do it. There's your faculty of attention, and you withdraw attention from asat and you place attention on sat. So you cultivate by withdrawing attention from that which is impeding, and you give attention to that which is wanted. That's how you cultivate. Let's say chanting. So the activity is chanting, and the thing to avoid, the thing to withdraw one's faculty of attention from is anything else but the holy name. You know, all temporary things one is to withdraw one's attention from and invest attention in the holy name. And you cultivate, you practice that. And that's what devotional service is. It's exactly according to how Prabhupada has described Rupa Goswami's definition. It's a type of cultivation. So your question is how to practice Krishna consciousness. Withdraw in place. You make a distinction. You discriminate between asat and sat, and you place consciousness in sat, and you don't place a value in asat. You may address it, you may not address it, that it's in contact with the mission, the eternal mission of the soul in this human form of life. You cultivate like that. You practice. Abhyasa. How do you practice? How do you cultivate? The question confuses me. Maybe the choice of words, but and the strength to do that comes from submission unto this descending mercy that's coming our way, and our effort to apply instructions, receive the mercy, and apply the instructions that were given. That's how you cultivate.
Ned, I wanted to share an appreciation. As we're reading about the Buddha's pilgrimage, my appreciation for the sacrifice of Srila Prabhupada and his followers is increasing, because I was thinking, yesterday you were saying the Buddha was on pilgrimage, he wasn't checking his email or reading the newspaper, and I was thinking, you know, the modern day pure devotees, even when on pilgrimage, have to take up so much complexity so that our lives can be simple and we can engage in hearing and chanting. I was thinking of how, you know, you were on your emails and you went to the India RGB even in the midst of the Vrindavan Yatra. So thank you very much.
When there are devotees that go, Krishna Smara takes a group of devotees to Udupi once a year for a yatra. And there's a lot of devotees that go, and they're very nice devotees, and they have wonderful kirtan and, you know, procession in the streets, Nagasan kirtan and classes and, you know, a public festival very nearby. So that's captured the attention of the sannyasis that are in charge of those 9 months. So one time, one of them invited some of the devotees to come and take prasadam with him. And there was some discussion about, you know, how what they saw came to pass. And so they showed him a video of Srila Prabhupada, your ever well wisher, something like that. And the comment from the sannyasi was, we could never do that. You know, he's speaking specifically about Prabhupada having kirtan in Golden Gate Park and sitting in the midst of hippies and this and that and the other thing. And, you know, that's unthinkable for a strict sannyasi in Madhva's mutts. You don't, like, they're very carefully protected and insulated from those disturbing elements, because they have a very important service to perform. So his comment was, he was empowered. Otherwise, it's not possible to do this. And the capacity to do this, to do what Srila Prabhupada did and what he's asked his followers to do, it's receiving mercy only. That's that protection. And one steps outside of that protection, back to your question or comment, thinking, I'm going to do it, instead of, I, without empowerment, without mercy, I'm crushed. If one steps outside, that's what happens.
Premaftha Prabhu had a question that he wanted to submit to you.
Who?
Premaftha Prabhu.
Okay.
His question was, I told him I'll share with him the recording once, was that as a jiva soul, he was just contemplating, I've been here for so many kalpas in this material world, and Krishna has come many, many times in different incarnations, and why is it that I've not gone back? Isn't Krishna, doesn't Krishna promise the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, and he'll give us intelligence to go back? So, then
well, what Krishna about the first part?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's the answer. Satatam yuktanam bhajatam piti devatam. That's the first part.
So you said, you follow up this next question, so what are the qualifications required for me to go back?
Well, go back to our discussion yesterday. Let go of material shelters. Or, conversely, as long as we maintain material shelters, that's our ineligibility to go back to Godhead. We'll say a cutaway. Let go of material shelters and take Krishna's shelter exclusively. Now, that's certainly his indication. Not like, you know, there's the intelligence is being withheld. Krishna, you know, promised something that didn't deliver. Sarva dharmam prityaja mam ekam sharanam praja mam tam sarva papabhyo moksha. It's not withheld information. So, let go of other shelters. Take Krishna's shelter exclusively. And the principal categories of shelters are sense gratification and mental speculation. And if we hold on to sense gratification and or mental speculation, that's our ineligibility. Our devotional service can begin, and whatever progress we've made, it will protect us and carry us to the next life situation where we can continue devotional service and have again the opportunity for taking full shelter in Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, the activities that we do as Daupelin, are they considered as taking full shelter of Krishna?
What do you think?
I have doubts.
Okay, me too. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.